Well, this evening we have two scripture passages that we will be considering. The first is simply Matthew 6, verses 13, which we find there, this petition of the Lord's Prayer. And then we have a little longer passage, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. So maybe find 1 Corinthians 10, throw your finger in there, and we will soon get to that. But first, we'll look at Matthew 6, verse 13. So beginning with Matthew 6, verse 13, brothers and sisters, this is God's holy word. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now over to 1 Corinthians 10, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Thanks be to God for his word. Well, many of you probably know that I like going hiking and backpacking out in the wilderness. And indeed, a number of you will be joining with me, Lord willing, this September on a week-long trip. And this is obviously something that I have been planning and preparing along with a couple others as well. Because we need to figure out first where to go and how to get there. And a lot of time is spent looking at maps and distances and elevations to find the best route and determine the best place to go. And as you know, if you go anywhere in the mountains around us, there are literal ups and downs as you have to traverse through the hills. And quite often it's hard work, isn't it? It's hard work. It hurts sometimes. But even when you thought you could never make it, it pays off in the end. If it's not cloudy, you can see a great vista in front of you. It pays off. In many ways, our Christian life is like that. A lot of ups and downs. But we know we're following the route of our good Father. We're following the plan that He has for us. He set everything up, even before the creation of the world. He is our guide. He is leading us to the end, and that is glorious. It's a glorious end that we get to. But there are times, if we're honest, that the route is difficult. It's very hard. And it seems as if we're never going to make it. But God preserves us. God brings us to the end. And we get there only by His strength. He preserves us. You might have wondered why we were directed to the path that we were. When there are so many obstacles, things that we can stumble over. Many slippery places that maybe hurt us very deeply, scarred us for a long time. But that was the path that God had for us. Well, this evening we have the opportunity to consider the final petition, this final request of the Lord's Prayer concerning our not being led into temptation and being delivered from evil. And when we pray this prayer, we are praying to the Creator God, protect us. Protect us on our journey, despite the many dangers, knowing that He's going to bring us to the end. We know that we are weak. We know that we can't do this on our own. So we pray, Lord, keep us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. So think with me this evening about this prayer of the week, because we recognize we're weak. So think about, first, that we are weak sinners. Second, that we have sworn enemies. But finally, we firmly resist. And may you, brothers and sisters, be strengthened, be encouraged in your pilgrimage as we journey through this present evil age. So first, let's think about we are weak sinners. Now, a few weeks ago, we considered the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer concerning the forgiveness of our sins. And we saw how we first had to acknowledge that we're sinners. We had to recognize that, yes, we are sinners, and we acknowledge that because we are guilty. We're guilty of our sin. And those who trust in Christ, we recognize that we've been fully freed from the punishment of sin. And we have freely given Christ perfect righteousness. And what do we do as a result? We live our lives out of gratitude, out of thankfulness for all that God has given to us. Freely, generously, we now forgive others. We've been forgiven, so we forgive others. But this week, we're not going to be considering past sins. In fact, we're going to be considering future sins. Sins that we still haven't done yet. Future sins. But those sins that we want to avoid. We don't want to do that. Now, children, have you ever been in the car with your mom and dad, or you're about to go on a little bit of a trip, and you need to check the traffic? You need to check what are the obstacles in our route. Unfortunately, if you're going to Seattle, there's not many options. But if you try to go around those things that are going to be slow. In many ways, this is what we are praying that God would do to us. Direct us away from temptation. Help us avoid those areas in our life that we are tempted to sin. That's what we're praying to the Lord for. Keep us from these temptations. Help us avoid our struggles. In this petition, we're thinking about temptation. But what is temptation? Where does temptation even come from? Well, first of all, temptation is any occasion where we are confronted with something that's sinful and contrary to God's law. We're confronted with something that's causing us to do something that God says, no, don't do. Or we're confronted with not wanting to do something that God does command us to do. There's a choice we have to make. A point where we need to decide, are we going to side with the Lord? Or are we going to do our own thing? That's what temptation is. It's a point where we're confronted. Are we going to follow the Lord? Or are we going to sin? One of the few ways we can think about such temptations. And the first way to think about it is that it comes first from our own heart. But another, it comes from the instigation of the devil. But a final thing that we need to consider is that the Lord allows temptations at times to come upon us. So first, let's think about our hearts. Now, we are Reformed believers, and we believe that the Bible teaches us, and it does clearly, that we are born sinful, and we're totally polluted with sin. We willfully, eagerly follow our natural tendency to hate God and our neighbor. It's our natural tendency to do that. In every single moment of every day, our own sinful nature's at war. It's at war with our new nature. The nature that is being renewed day by day into the image of Christ. And because we have this struggle, we're constantly fighting. It's our thoughts, our desires, our hatred, our lusts, our envy, jealousy. Everything that's coming from within our own hearts. Everything that wells up from within our own hearts. We don't need outside influences to cause us to sin. Our hearts are enough. We don't need something from the outside to even have us hate our neighbor. We don't need something from the outside to cause us to covet something. Our own hearts, minds, our own affections and wills. lead us into temptation and lead us into sin. And we break God's law continually. We heard that this morning, didn't we? Two commandments, we can't keep them. It's our natural tendency. Hate God, hate our neighbor. But if we can be tempted to sin by our own internal sources, by our own hearts, well, we can also be tempted by an external source, namely the devil, Satan himself and his minions. And we are weak sinners. We're weak. And Satan knows how to exploit our weaknesses. Our enemy knows how to exploit our weaknesses. He gives us precisely targeted temptations. We all know what that's like, don't we? Specifically targeted temptation. Herman Witsius very helpfully reminds us, it is important to remember that Satan cannot affect our understanding. He cannot mold our judgments. He cannot bend the will. That power belongs to God alone. However, Satan can make a deep and powerful impression. He can't change our wills. Only God can do that. He can leave a mark. He can leave an impression. He knows where we're weak. So what this means, though, is we can't say, well, the devil made me do it. It's not a valid excuse. We can't say that because Satan cannot make us do anything. He can tempt us. He can put things in our path where he is confident it's going to scratch where we itch. But it's our will, our desire that turns temptation into sin. Simply being tempted isn't sin. If that were the case, well, then Jesus would have sinned because Jesus was tempted. But Jesus remained sinless his entire life. So just being tempted isn't sinful. So what do you do with that temptation? Where does it go? Well, we're going to think a little bit more about Satan and our enemy in just a little bit. But this final manner of thinking about our being tempted is there are times when God allows us to be tempted. God allows temptations to come upon us. Now, maybe this is a surprise for you to hear. Maybe you feel a little uncomfortable to hear that. But we do have a robust view of God's sovereignty, don't we? That nothing happens in the world without God's control, God's governance. Nothing happens without God's permission. And that's why we pray this specific petition, don't we? Lord, lead us not into temptation. Therefore, God at times can allow us to be tempted, even by Satan himself. Think about Jesus and his temptation. Matthew records in Matthew 4, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit, capital S, third person of the Trinity Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. God allowed even Satan to give the opportunity to tempt the Son of God into sinning. But of course, Jesus didn't take the bait. Jesus never sinned. But there are a couple of very important points when we consider what does it mean that God allows us at times to be led into temptation. Again, we can't say, we can never say, that God caused us to sin. God did not make us sin. We are fully responsible. Fully responsible for every sin we ever committed. Our wills turned any temptation into sin. We did it. Listen to James 1, 13 to 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. James uses, as he does very well, very descriptive language, doesn't he? And even using that word lured and enticed by our own desire. It's like when you're fishing with a lure, you want something that's going to entice that fish, causes something to bite on it. That's what Satan's doing with us. That's what temptation is. It's luring, it's enticing. But we sin. God does not make us sin. We sin. But second, when God allows us to be led into temptation, he doesn't allow us to be tempted with more than we can bear. He always gives us a way of escape. We heard that earlier from 1 Corinthians 10, didn't we? Listen again to that final verse. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Quite often this passage can be misunderstood to think that God will not give us anything that we can't endure. There are just things that we can't endure, so God's not going to give those things to us. That's not what this is talking about. Paul is talking about temptation specifically. There are many things that we face in this life that we simply can't endure. It's only by God's grace that we can. But temptation, though, is different. Temptation. God will not give us more than we can bear. Because that's what Paul is talking about here. And what's the context? Quite often, again, we read just verse 13, but we forget about the context in the beginning. All of this, Paul was rehearsing all the troubles, the trials, the temptations that Israel failed in the wilderness. And what are they for us? They're an example. They're a warning to us. They're a warning, thinking if we can resist temptation on our own, look to Israel. Look to the wilderness. They were not able to do it. We are weak sinners. We succumb to temptations very easily. And what's really interesting is the word for temptation that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 10 is the same word that Jesus uses in the Lord's Prayer. It's also used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament for the Hebrew word masa. And masa simply means temptation. But it was also a name of a place where Israel failed, where they had this grumbling against God. And they called it Masa, Exodus 17. And what's amazing about that is it was so short after they left Israel, after they were delivered out of Egypt. It wasn't very long, and they failed. This place called Masa. And Psalm 95 speaks of this, and it uses, again, that very same word, recounting the hardening of the people's hearts at Massa and at Meribah. And the psalmist says it's a warning. Don't do that. When you hear the word of God, don't harden your heart like the Israelites did. They were tempted and they failed. Don't do that. It's a warning for us. It's a gracious warning of God. Don't be like them. Because brothers and sisters, we're tempted all the time. By our own hearts, by our enemy, by the devil, by the world, the circumstances around us. So what do we need to do? We need to watch our hearts. Watch our hearts. And we need to watch our hearts so that they don't get hardened in the temptation. So they don't get hardened in temptations that lead to sin. Very easily we can love the sin more than the Lord. Very soon, we're not struggling anymore. Very soon, when the temptations come, it's not a struggle because our hearts are hard. And we just sin right away. It's not a good place to be. But the Lord always gives a way of escape. He always gives a way of escape. Many times when somebody has been in my study and confessed a grievous sin that just breaks their heart, we come to this verse. And I asked, was there a way of escape? Did the Lord give you a way of escape? And they always say yes. The way of escape was there and they didn't take it. They hardened themselves to the sin or the temptation and they sinned. But God always gives us a way of escape. And we pray. That's a part of the Lord's Prayer. We pray, Lord, allow us to run away, to hate that sin and run away from it. It's an act of repentance, isn't it? Hate the sin, run away from it. We even do that with temptation, to hate it, to flee it. But thirdly, and most importantly, when we think about how God allows us to be tempted, God has a goal, God has a purpose to strengthen our faith. To strengthen our faith. When Satan is tempting us, when he is luring us, when he is enticing us, he wants to destroy our faith. He wants to bring us away from the Lord, to weaken our faith. But even in those times, God wants us to come near to Him. To come near to Him. Calvin commented, "We aren't asking God to keep us free from everything which makes a trial of our faith. That's not what we're praying for. We're not praying, Lord, just keep everything away from me. No, we have been called by God, our Savior, to not lead us into temptation because we know we're weak. But we also pray that our faith will be strengthened through this, that we will grow through this in the midst of these trials. Because it's not our strength that we can do this anyways. It's the Holy Spirit. And when the Lord brings us through, it's our faith is strengthened. We confessed this earlier, question answer 127. Lord, uphold us and make us strong by the power of the Spirit. Make us strong. Because we will be tempted. We will. By our own hearts, by the devil, by the world. God allows these things to come upon us. But we pray, Lord, minimize that. Keep those things away from us. But we always know the Lord gives us a way of escape. There's always a way of escape. And any temptations that we do endure will contribute to our salvation. Our faith will be strengthened. We will grow despite it. Because brothers and sisters, and you probably know this, when we're tempted, especially when we're really struggling, we're driven to our knees in prayer. That's where we need to go. In the midst of a hard temptation, a hard struggle, we go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, keep us, keep me from this temptation. I know I'm too weak to even hold my own for a moment. Lead me not into the temptation. Deliver me from this. Deliver me from this. Don't have my heart hardened to this sin. Cause me, Lord, to hate it. May I flee it. Brothers and sisters, do you say the same thing to the Lord? Do you hate your sin? You desire to be free from temptations that you're constantly wrestling with. Well, guess what? If you're constantly wrestling with it, you're not hardening your heart. Continue to fight. Continue to wrestle. And pray that the Lord will continue to grow through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Christ gave us the words to pray. Lead us not into temptation. When we pray those words, especially when we are being tempted, we are able by the power of the Holy Spirit to flee the temptation, to overcome it. But we do have to remember, and this brings us to our second point, that we have sworn enemies. We have enemies that hate us. And the Catechism tells us plainly, they never stop attacking us. They never stop attacking us. The devil, the world, our own flesh. We considered some of these earlier. Our flesh is polluted. We struggle with our own sinful nature. We don't need any outside influence to tempt us. We're great at tempting ourselves. But I do want to focus just a moment on the enemies, the devil, the world, and Satan. But before we think about our enemy, the devil, we need to briefly think about the interpretation of the text before us. You may have noticed that the New King James Translation closes this petition, "Deliver us from the evil one." Maybe your translation just says, "Deliver us from evil." I mean, that's how you even pray the Lord's Prayer, "Deliver us from evil." Now, it isn't necessary to take time to debate the translation, which is better, which is more appropriate. And Calvin very wisely puts the issue to rest. There is no necessity to make evil masculine, that is to say, the evil one, or to make evil neuter, just to say evil. It's the same meaning. We are in danger from the devil and from sin if the Lord does not protect us and deliver us. Either way we translate it, we still need to pray this. We still need to pray this. We need the Lord to protect us and deliver us. So we do pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. We pray them both. We need to. Again, Herman Vitsius, in his commentary on the Lord's Prayer, he begins his discussion of this petition with these words. "Whoever has God for his friend will find Satan to be his enemy." If you have God as your friend, Satan's your enemy. We've heard that before, haven't we? And I do wonder quite often in our churches and in our circles, we don't take the devil seriously enough. That we really do have an enemy that hates us. Listen to 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking somebody to devour. He's active. He's actively going after even God's sheep. We have an adversary, an enemy. He's looking for a victim. Imagine if somebody woke you up in the middle of the night and knocked on your door very loudly, and if you open it up, it was the police. And they told you, well, we received word that somebody's trying to hurt you. We don't know a lot of the details, but somebody's trying to hurt you. How would you go about your next day? You'd be very cautious. You'd be looking around every corner. Maybe you wouldn't even leave your house. But you would try to be someplace where you're not isolated, where you're not alone, where there's other people, there's witnesses, other people to protect you. You would totally change the way that you acted, the way that you lived. That's how diligent we need to be against the attack of the devil. That's how diligent we need to be. I don't think any of us really are. All too often, we let our guard down. We give our adversary the opportunity to take a shot. He has those targeted temptations. And we leave ourselves vulnerable. But brothers and sisters, that's our life in this present evil age as we combat the devil. It's a tough life. He's constantly trying to get at us in different ways, trying to allow us to sneak in there. We have a battle on our hands. In Revelation 12, we read about the dragon, Satan. He was thrown out of heaven, being defeated by Michael's and his angels. And that causes a loud voice to rejoice into heaven, from heaven. Rejoice, O heavens, and all you dwell in them. But they also sing of some woe. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Yeah, it's great that he was thrown out of heaven, but he ended up on earth. That's where we are. That's where we are. And later in Revelation 12, then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Do you strive to hold the commandments of God? Do you hold to the testimony of Jesus? And I hope you all do. But if you do, you are the sworn enemy of Satan right now. He hates that. He hates those who hold the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. He has sworn to make war with you. We have to recognize that. And there is nothing that Satan hates more than when God is glorified. He hates that. And he also hates when God's children obey his commands, when they honor Christ according to their testimony. Our enemy hates it. Brothers and sisters, again, we need to be constantly aware. The devil, our enemy, is trying to lead us astray. We need to seriously consider the battle that we're in. And we've heard a lot about that in the last few months and years, haven't we? It's only getting worse. We are in a battle. It's not going to get easier. As we've heard Reverend Stromberg say recently, parents, train your children. They are in a fight for the very soul. We need to prepare them for that. And this is a war with the devil uses many different weapons, including the world around us. So we can't be naive about that. The devil's not going to be obvious. He's going to conceal himself. Remember what Satan, just the word, the name means. Deceiver. Liar. That's who he is. Now, we might find some temptations that will be kind of explicit and obvious, but we can't always expect that. So we need to be prepared, be on our guard for the many subtle temptations that the world brings upon us and our enemy. And there are times when even those temptations can be good things in and of themselves. It's a great job with great benefits. It's going to really help your family. And it doesn't even require you to work on Sundays. But maybe even that work environment. It's just a horrible environment. toxic environment. Maybe we'll be, all the people there will be tempting us into various kinds of immorality. Could also be an old acquaintance from high school. Maybe reconnect over Facebook. Just share some innocent messages over time. Seemingly innocent steps that can lead to adulterous relationship in the future. Starts out fine. The devil uses that to cause us to sin grievously. There are an infinite number of ways which we can be tempted. Infinite number of ways. Because our enemy is sneaky. Every one of us has those areas of weaknesses. We can expect to have a fight on those lines continuously. In the first part of this petition, we ask the Lord to keep us away from temptation. In the second part, we ask Him to deliver us from the temptations of the evil one. Because they're already entangling us. We already struggle with them. Every one of us does. Because none of us are sinless. Only Jesus was sinless. And another way to translate this word for deliver us from evil is to rescue. Another way of saying is, Lord, rescue us from this. Rescue us from evil. We recognize there are forces that are attacking us. Lord, rescue us. This has been the prayer of God's people for a long time. God's people have been praying something to this effect for a long time. Listen to Psalm 25. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. But he prays, the psalmist prays, oh, guard my soul. Guard my soul. Deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. The devil isn't just worried about our physical being. He wants to destroy us spiritually. So we hear the psalmist talk like this, Psalm 116. Then I cried on the name of the Lord, O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Psalm 120. In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. Things that were bringing him away, tempting him. Deliver me, rescue me. And brothers and sisters, God is in the business of redeeming, of rescuing, delivering his people. We see it throughout God's word. He rescued Noah and his family from the wickedness on the earth. The whole nation of Israel was rescued from the oppression and slavery in Egypt, brought into the promised land with a lot of bumps along the way. But he brought them there. But even after the people were in the land and the Lord sent them into exile because of their sin, he brought a remnant back. He rescued them. But the ultimate rescue that the Lord has given to us is when his Son became human, when his Son lived a perfect life and was crucified on a Roman cross as a punishment for our sins, to redeem us, to deliver us, to rescue us. That's what Christ did. God rescued us. And Christ, by his death and resurrection, has conquered the devil. He has conquered the final enemy, death. And for all those who are united to Christ, guess what? We share in that victory. We have that victory. We can resist temptation. We don't have to fall into the trap of the devil. Of course, we are waiting for the day when that victory will be fully consummated, where we'll not even be tempted anymore. We're waiting for that day. A day when we're not going to sin anymore. But in the meantime, we fight. We fight. And that brings us to our final point. We firmly resist. Back at question answer 32 of the Catechism, we have the understanding that we too share in Christ's anointing. 31 talks about how Christ was anointed to be our chief prophet, priest, and king. But the next question and answer, 32, how do we share in Christ's anointing? What does that look like? And we share in Christ's kingly office. And this is what it says. I am anointed as a king to strive with a free conscience against sin and the devil in this life. We are anointed to strive with a free conscience against sin and the devil in this life. What do? Kings protect, and they fight against the enemy. So too, we protect our hearts, and we fight against our enemy. There's an urgency to this petition then, isn't there? There's a real urgency when we pray this. In the Catechism, it hints at this urgency when we confess, Lord, uphold us and make us strong by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not be defeated in this spiritual fight, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. So brothers and sisters, we're praying that the Lord, may our faith not fail. All of these struggles that we have, may our faith actually be strengthened by them. Lord, may we keep our hands on the plow. May we not turn to the left or to the right. Lord, may we resist our enemies. Our enemies just want us to give up. No, may we resist them. May we fight against them. But how do we resist? Why do we fight against our enemies? Well, both of those questions, the how and the why, are answered in the fact that we have a new life. We have a new life. Listen to Romans 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. That's one of the most powerful verses in all the Bible. There's a lot of them, but that's one of them. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead has raised you to a new life. The same Spirit. We have a new life. And earlier, Paul says in Romans 6, we've died to sin. We are no longer enslaved to it. It's no longer our master. It's no longer has dominion over us. Because we are new creatures. We have a new life. Okay, Christian, you have that power. You have that new life. You have it. It's yours. You have a life that has a power over sin. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we won't sin. We're still fighting, Paul says in Romans 7, oh, wretched man that I am. But we recognize that we have sinned. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. We recognize we've sinned. We rest on God's grace for our sanctification, making us more and more like Christ. And we fight. Part of our having a new life with which to fight against sin means that we have the understanding that we are a branch in the vine of Christ. We're a branch in the vine of Christ. We're united to Him. But not only that, we have Christ as our good shepherd, as we heard this morning. He's going to protect us. He's going to guard us. He's going to fight for us. Indeed, He laid down His life for us. That's who we have. I've told you before that Jesus died so that we could say no to sin. I've told that a number of times to my kids. Jesus died so you could say no to sin. No longer is our master. James in James 4 says, when we resist the devil, he will flee from us. When we resist him, he will flee. Why will he flee? Because he knows he can't have us. He knows that we are in the Father's hand. Who's going to take us away from the Father's hand? The enemy knows we've been washed with the blood of Christ. So when we resist, he will flee. So brothers and sisters, resist. Resist. Fight against the devil. We are in a battle. The war has been won. The victory is ours in Christ. But we still fight. Resist him. Resist the enemy. Christian, do you recognize your weaknesses? Do you recognize where you're weak, especially in the face of temptation and sin? What do you do at those times? Pray to the Lord. Pray to God that He will lead you, that He will guide you away from the temptation, and that even through that process, He'll strengthen your faith. We are in a battle. We are in a battle against enemies that hate us. Enemies that have sworn against us. Enemies that are cunning, enemies that are deceptive. But guess what? We have a deliverer, a redeemer, who's greater than all. He's given us a new life in the Spirit. A new life so that we can resist, we can fight. So we do pray for the Lord to not lead us into temptation. Deliver us from evil. May that be a constant prayer of yours. May you find your strength, find your refuge in Christ alone. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we recognize that we have, even in our own selves, Lord, a sinful nature that tempts us. Our own wills, our own affections, our own desires. Lord, may we fight against those. May we fight against our own hearts. May we fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Lord, may we resist those things. And Lord, we are looking forward to the day when all that will be over. When there will be no more sin, no more even temptations to sin. Lord, we pray that that day will come quickly. A time, Lord, when we're not able to sin. When we have glorified, resurrected bodies, Lord, we are looking forward to that day. But Lord, even as we are now, still in this present evil age, Lord, may we fight. Lord, may my brothers and sisters here, Lord, may we fight the devil and those temptations, Lord, that war against our souls. Lord, may we know that we have the victory in Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.